Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to the Caffeination Turkey Day edition. Yes, this is Turkey Day 2008, also known as Caffeination number 183. Hopefully you're going to enjoy today's episode. I know I had a pretty good time putting it together, so I know it's hopefully going to come through in the final product. We have a great amount of stuff that's coming up for you today here on the show. We got a whole bunch of great links, a whole bunch of different little stuff to talk to you about. We are going to be running through in no particular order. We're going to be talking about giant bugs, archaic giant bugs, robots, Wi-Fi, LEDs, trees, guitars, and of course the ever-present rock. We have a great lineup of that stuff, along with a different kind of musical instrumentation for today's show. Please pardon the general format of today's show. I am doing something right now that I have not done in probably 8 or 9 months. It is actually past midnight, so I missed my Wednesday deadline. We had a dinner with friends tonight, which ended up with them coming over. It was a really good time and everything, but I usually, sit there in the living room and actually do a little bit of show prep. I had nothing done for today. I don't know why. Maybe it's the impending holiday that is now currently upon us. Yes, the Turkey Day, Thanksgiving for everybody not in the United States. I know we do have a lot of listeners from outside the United States, outside the continental United States, everything else, so and basically, you all know what Thanksgiving is. I'm not going to run down what exactly it is, but I will tell you exactly a little bit more about the Caffeination Podcast, as it were. This is the show that's all about tunes and tech, coffee, and all things caffeine. We view caffeine and technology as more than just topics. They're very near and dear passions to my heart, so hopefully you'll feel the same way after today's episode. And, if you're new to the show, you can find it over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. If you're a returning listener, repeat offender as the case may be, then you know that that's where you find the show. You also know that that's where you find all the information on how to contact me, including the email address, which we like to throw out here just in case you might not know. It's caffeination@gmail.com. Now, the Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. It's a network where all of the shows have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content. You can find all that information as well as other member shows up on techpodcasts.com. We're also a proud member over of the Blueberry Podcast community. That's over at blueberry.com, BLU BRRY. That's sorry, a little bit of a cat jumping across the screen there. It's hard to read, even though I know what everything is. I'm just tired. I probably should have just put this off and tried to record tomorrow morning, but I know the way that things are going, it just wouldn't have worked out for me. I have a commitment to everybody out there. I want people to be able to wake up in the morning, listen to Alice's Restaurant first, then download this song. If you live in the Philadelphia metropolitan area, you know that there's a fantastic tradition of one DJ Pierre Robert playing Alice's Restaurant on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. So he does this every Thanksgiving year. People call in, request, and ask when he's going to do it. I just can't wait to relive that whole thing. I know I'm going to get a call from my parents or my sister some point in time tomorrow. I have the song. Unfortunately, can't play it on the radio, as it were. Probably should have just done a Ustream thing and just not recorded it and put it out there. But hey, we'll see. Maybe in the future we might be bringing back Ustream. You're just going to have to deal with me and my PJs every once in a while. But, or not. Who knows? There's a whole bunch of great information, a whole bunch of good stuff coming down the pipe, and a lot of it is in direct response to our sponsor. Now, this show is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. So if you're looking for a better way to present or collaborate during your conference calls, your solution is quite simple. Web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your call, everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com and your computer screen shows up on all of their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, training, or real-time collaboration. Plus, you're not charged one of those pesky per-minute fees like some of the other providers that are out there. You can meet for as often as you want, for as long as you need, with one flat rate. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone, anywhere, anytime, without ever leaving your office. You'll not only end up saving a serious amount of time, but a boatload of money as well. See for yourself. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. We'd just like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They are a very large part of what we are. They're a very large reason for what we are able to do, and they have a really good product, so I would heartily recommend you head on over there and check them out. Now, the PodSafe music, well, I'm just going to assume this is PodSafe music because I really don't know how. It was actually put out there by some of the parties that we're going to be talking about later on. This is the Halo 2 theme song that we're just going to be playing for you here. It has a nice little rocking guitar track, and you're going to see why. Just figure it, play it for you a little bit. It's a little bit over 3 minutes here, I think, so hopefully you'll find this one enjoyable. If not, it's only one episode, I swear. All right, again, here's the Halo 2 theme song with lead guitar, actually, by Steve Vai. I don't know if anybody out there really knew that, but I really like the song, really like the game, so I just decided, you know what, they're doing the whole Guitar Hero pack with it, so I'm going to give you a little bit more information on that again in the future, and it's a fantastically organized song, so here you go, here's the song as it was, and then we're going to get right on into the tech news as it is later on. Here you go. Again, that was the Halo 3. 2's theme song by Martin O'Donnell, arranged by Michael Salvatore, and guitars by Steve Vai of Whitesnake fame. So hopefully you enjoyed that. A little bit of a different take on the music for today's show. We're going to get onto that story just a little bit. But first, have a fun little article from over at Wired. It's Wired puts your Thanksgiving feast under a microscope. Basically, it's a whole bunch of interesting slides and stuff like that about different parts of the Thanksgiving feast. They have a 200x picture of turkey. They got a 600x picture of cranberries. They have all kinds of scanning electron microscopes and cool stuff like that. They did bread, gravy, beer, potatoes, and peas. Now, I'm pretty sure that everybody else has other things that they would do. I'd like to check out a little bit of stuffing, you know. I understand that's probably the bread. And there's some other things, like I'd like to see corn on there, and peas really aren't a big part of the Thanksgiving. Maybe some sweet potatoes to see if they're actually any different than potatoes. But it'd be kind of fun to just check that out and, you know, just take a peek on over there. First of all, any magnifications of this level are really interesting. They're really actually gorgeous pieces of art, to say the least. I mean, they kind of transcend, like, okay, you know, very clinical definitions of what things are. It's like, okay, yes, this is turkey at 200x, but it's so much more. It's also, you know, a very nice composition, to say the least. I mean, you could take pictures of almost any part of the turkey at that point, but still, you know, maybe not come up with this exact image. So I just thought it was kind of fun. Thought it would, everybody would enjoy that, you know, just kind of a little kick me off to it. And the next little thing we have up here is actually a video from, let me see, a lot of different people have sent me this one in. First person on the list was Fabrice, sent me in. This was from Metacafe. So if you click on the first link in the show notes, basically, it says caffeine boost for your Wi-Fi. Now, I clicked on this a little bit and I said, all right, now what exactly is a caffeine boost? Now, basically, it's a way of directing the Wi-Fi signal using an aluminum can and your wireless antenna. Now, I have not tried it, so I can't speak as to its effectiveness. However, I will be able to. I can tell you that it does seem to be pretty interesting. Although I don't know what. Basically, you cut a can in half. You poke a hole in the bottom, that's where you put the antenna. And what they do is they tell you to take the back side of the can and paint it black, leaving the shiny interior painted the way it is. Now, I don't know what painting the back end of the can black would do, other than, you know, maybe giving a uniform appearance to it. I don't really see any kind of performance upgrade that would provide, but we don't really drink too much soda around here, so maybe tomorrow I might just snake a can if somebody's drinking soda, just to give it a shot. I mean, we do have the wireless router in our house, actually in a very weird location. It's actually in one of the far corners of the house, so if I could direct the signal towards the rest of the house, I mean, that'd be really cool and actually be very useful. So I might give it a shot. I'll report back to everybody on exactly what it does for you. All right, now the first real bit of tech news that we have here is another paleontologist thing. Now, I know I've said this before, but right up until I started college, right up until about halfway through college, actually, I really wanted to be a paleontologist when I grew up. You know, somebody who studies dinosaurs, ancient life, and stuff like that. And for some reason, I went into anthropology thinking that, you know, okay, anthropology has archaeology as a subset. I'll eventually get into paleontology. Little did I know, just for all the future dinosaur hunters that are out there, you need to get into geology. That's where you go. just to let you know, I probably should have done a little bit more research. Kind of flew by the seat of my pants for a large part of my life. So just thought it'd be funny to kind of let you know about that. But people keep finding awesome things. Now, here's another one that's high on the level of awesomeness. A scientist in Germany discovered an ancient sea scorpion that they think might actually be the progenitor to the current modern-day scorpions, definitely, and also possibly to arachnids and other, you know, arthropods of that size. Or not of that size, but, you know, basically the progenitor to the predecessor, as you were, to all of the modern-day scorpions, spiders, and stuff like that. Not necessarily, you know, insects, but definitely the arachnids. This thing was roughly the size of a Volkswagen Bug. Yeah, you heard me right. 2.5 meters long. This thing was over 8 feet long. Probably roughly 2 to 4 feet wide. They found a claw, a massive, massive claw, and have, you know, dug it out and displayed it for all the world to view. I have two little links up to it. I originally saw it on Wired, had to post the /.1 at the same point in time, but I was stunned by this. Now, they actually have a picture on one of the linked articles of the rough size of this thing in relation to a man, like a standard, you know. For some reason, they always use the height of 6 feet as the average guy. Men generally aren't necessarily 6 feet tall. There's some people are bigger, some people are shorter, you know. But still, you take a statue of a dude and you put it next to this thing, and it is scary big. Now, I'm waiting for somebody to do a whole horror movie about this, and I haven't seen any pictures, like any really good close-up pictures of the fossils. They do have a... They do actually have a picture of the fossil from slightly far away, but you don't really see a good amount of stuff in it. It's actually cast in plaster, and they have it dug out of rock, so it's all kinds of crazy. And apparently, I was unaware of this. I'm very well versed in dinosaur lore, as it were, but I was unaware of the giant bug factor in the fossil record. Yes, monster millipedes, supersized scorpions, colossal cockroaches, and jumbo dragonflies, as the article from the CBC.ca actually puts out there. But still, it's just big and huge and massive, and an 8 foot long scorpion. I mean, I don't care who you are, that's approaching the whole Transformer Scorponok level. I mean, this thing is massive. It was probably none too happy, and the only thing that they said that caused these suckers to go extinct was the advent of large, sharp-toothed, bony fish. They were actually able to do a pretty good number on the fish with armor plating and the like, but they were unable to deal with the large, sharp-toothed, bony jaw. But still, I mean, it's just I don't even know that it's a stunning idea, to say the least, that to have a bug that big. But at the same point in time, it's also really cool. Now, on to the next giant bug. Apparently, over in Japan, there's a new robot called the Ladybug. Now, this bug's job is to do what other people don't want to do. It's going to clean public restrooms along the highways. And it looks like a giant ladybug. Now, it is kind of cute, which I guess is a hallmark of Japanese design. It has the ladybug body, slightly raised off the floor, I guess, to do the kind of scuba thing that it's supposed that you know, it cleans and washes the floors. It can also talk to people, provide, you know, small chat, you know, chat and stuff like that. Apparently, it's also going to be able to give warnings. The thing is internet enabled, so it's going to be constantly accessible via Wi-Fi or whatever other system they got going there. It can avoid people that are walking around the bathroom. So if this thing had a little toilet brush that came out of it and scrubbed that, that'd be kind of cool too. Apparently, it also has all kinds of detectors for different air qualities and stuff like that. So I guess it could, you know, label a bathroom as a hazmat scene and say, yeah, you know what, you might not want to go in there. But still, it's kind of a crazy cool idea. And just leave it to the Japanese to make something that's like almost sickeningly cute. Like I said, it has the ladybug body on the back end, so it has like the traditional red body or red wings with the white dots, but it also, instead of the black head that's a kind of ubiquitous ladybug, has a yellow happy face with two little white antennas. I don't know exactly what is the functional part of any of it, but happy faces are always good if you want people to like your stuff. You know what I mean? All right, now moving right along to yet another fantastically designed idea. I'm just calling this the Wheel of Desk Gizmos, but apparently this thing is called a Stationali desk set. It's a circular collection of desk utilities for $40. It's basically a necessity pack, and they all fit in together. So there's a stapler, the necessities include a stapler, a pencil sharpener, a staple remover, a sticky note, a sticky paperclip holder, a calculator, a digital alarm clock. There's even a magnet on the back of each part so you can attach them to different things. Now, I have a fridge right under my desk. This would be fantastic. This is definitely going on the list of things that I would love to get for Christmas, but probably won't anyway. Now, I also wanted to let people know that there's a very good chance that I'm actually going to be on the the Tech Podcast Network Holiday Roundup. Basically, where you go on there, you give the idea, you give the top five gadgets that you're going to be, that you'd like to be playing with. So if I actually end up doing it, I'm going to be posting over at caffeination.com. So please keep a weather eye out for that, and you'll see if I'm actually going to be on that. If you care to join me, if you care to join in, if you, you know, check it out, or you'll be able to listen to it after the fact. I'll put a link up to it in the show notes. But still, the Stanoli, the Stationali desk set, the Wheel of Office gadgets, is a fantastic idea, especially for people who, like me, who have little mini fridges under their desk. This would keep everything you need right at fingers' reach, and if it has strong enough magnets, which I really hope it does. By the way, that is one of my biggest pet peeves, is when you get a really cool, awesome magnetic gadget or something like that, and just the magnets suck. I mean, you know, you can't even put a piece of paper in between the magnet and the fridge itself, and just because the magnet's of such a weak and poor quality that it can't even hold the mass of the object up. So hopefully they did it right and put a massive magnet on the back of this, but moving right along nonetheless. Apparently somebody has decided that, you know, enough is enough. You know, the long, dark country roads are fine all in the daytime, even in the dusk, even in the early morning. But when it's pitch black outside, you don't know where you are. You're pretty much going to end up in a ravine if you don't, you know, slow down significantly, put on your high beams, fog lights, whatever you got available to you. So a number of UK roads are actually looking to be have slight upgrades to them. So what they're going to be doing is having, they're called Astutia solar light LED studs driven into the concrete along the edges, or driven in rather the asphalt. So basically, these things are going to collect sunlight throughout the day and then give off a electroluminescent glow at night so that you know where the edge of the road is. And they also have reflector technology built into them, so as your headlights go past them, they're going to catch and reflect the light that much more. And this is just a fantastic, great idea. The only thing that I could really see as kind of a detractor for this is it's going to make the road, you know, if you're driving through the mountains or something like that, it's going to make the mountains seem really eerie, because you're going to have these strange trails going all the way up through the woods and stuff like that. It's probably going to freak the hell out of some of the local wildlife too, but it's a really good idea, especially for heavily traveled but not well lit roads. This is going to be a great boon. But they're actually saying that it's going to be able to reduce the nighttime accidents in certain areas by over 70%, or that it has. Okay, these things are already in place in certain areas, and they have reduced the amount of nighttime accidents by up to 70%. It's worth giving it a shot. And speaking of LEDs, one of my least favorite holiday traditions, and I know I'm by far in the minority on this one, I do not like the New York Rockefeller Christmas tree. First of all, because I see this massive old tree that was sitting in somebody's yard, and then I just see big old New York coming along and cutting the sucker down. And this thing's like 125 feet tall each year, and this is an old growth tree here. This is not something that's going to get replaced in a few short years. So during the time at which the New York has had this tradition going on, the tree that they've cut down for whatever year it is was, you know, pretty old by the time the tradition had even been started. I don't even know. I think they said it was started in sometime in the early 1900s, but, you know, of having larger than life Christmas trees put there. So the trees that they're using were, you know, planted or grew sometime in the middle of the 1800s here. So, you know, not very sustainable development here. But one of the biggest problems with it, now move that aside, I'm a big fan of Christmas decorations. I like the lights. I like the whole nine yards. We're going to be doing everything up right on Friday around here at the Caffeination HQ. So I'll be posting some fun little links to the current lighting setup and what we're going to be doing to upgrade this year's design. But still, little by little every year, it's a whole new ball game. But basically, Christmas lights suck your energy bill dry like nothing else. So, the New York tree, the Rockefeller Christmas tree, is going to be lit up with 30,000 LEDs this year. So they're saying that it's going to it's going to reduce the consumption of electricity from roughly 3,500 kilowatts an hour to 3,500 kilowatts per day to 1,200 kilowatts per day. That is a massive, massive savings. That's over half of the electricity is going to be, you know, saved through this setup. Bonus, great idea, New York. Same point in time, not only that, but they're going to be recycling the trees into building materials for Habitat for Humanity. Good idea, you know, great, and all that stuff. And then they're going to be using the branches for nutrient-rich mulch, and I don't even know. So basically, this sucker gets lit up like a candle or like a Christmas tree on November 28th, so next week sometime, and it's going to be illuminated daily throughout the first week of January. That's a serious amount of electricity they're going to save, and kudos to New York for even thinking along those lines. Now, I don't know roughly how much the LED Christmas lights cost, but I would love to replace some of the ones we got around here with them, because we end up buying new ones every year. So maybe, you know, a little bit extra cash, maybe they'll just last a little bit longer. But, all right, moving right along. We have the fun little thing here called Rock the Halo. It's a free theme for Guitar Hero 3 is going to be available tomorrow on Xbox Live, today on Xbox Live Thanksgiving. So if you have a Guitar Hero 3, or if you're going to be getting it, you might want to head on over to the marketplace, rather. Sorry, I just had a blank out there. You're going to head on over to the marketplace. You're going to download this thing, because I don't know how long it's going to be free. It's going to be 0 points, and you're going to be able to download the Halo 2 theme song that we played at the beginning of the show, complete with Guitar Hero tabs, so you're going to be able to play along with it. Fantastic idea. This should have been included in the retail packaging of Guitar Hero 2, not even Guitar Hero 3. Wasn't included in either of them. Thanks to the magic of downloadable content, you too can play the Halo theme song. So just thought it would be fun. And the thing that really caught me, you know, it's kind of like an off-to-the-side comment, but I originally thought the song was user-generated. I'm like, man, that's a fantastic song for being user-generated. But then I started like, okay, Marty O'Donnell and then Michael Salvatore, they're both very well-known names within the gaming community, specifically within the Bungie community, because these guys are the sound gurus responsible for everything in Halo, the very rich environment that lives there. And they said, oh yeah, and by the way, the guitars was done by a little man by the name of Steve Vai. I was like, holy hell. This is, you know, it's like they really had, you know, they spared no expense. They really went all out to get this done. And Steve Vai, you know, lead guitarist from Whitesnake, a fantastic technical guitarist. So, you know, kudos to them for even getting him involved in the project originally. And this is from back at Halo 2. So the theme from Halo 3 is much more of a somber theme. So this is a great, great pickup for Guitar Hero 3 on the Xbox. Good idea, guys. All right, now the next little thing we have here is an article from over at the Sci-Fi Tech blog. And this is one called The Gibson Robot Guitar Tunes Itself, so you can just jam. This should have been done a long time ago. Again, another one of those things that it's like, man, I wish I had thought of that. Why not make a guitar that tunes itself? I mean, seriously, the thing costs almost $2,000. I don't know how much guitars cost. I know I've seen guitars for $200. I've seen guitars for $800. I know somebody who bought a guitar for $3,000. So $2,000, all right, I don't know. Is it a good guitar? Yeah, maybe. It's a limited run here, but there's no solid word on the price, but the self-tuning guitar is only going to be available in certain locations, and the rumor has it they're going to cost over $2,000. So apparently, according to this, it says it's not really expensive when you compare it to some of the other ones, but I don't know. I don't think you can actually tune any part of it yourself. I think everything else is very sedentary on it. You can't mess with any of it. It's all robotically tuned, which is awesome. But then again, if you're like a guitar hack, like if you like to play around with the strings and do all kinds of funky things to it, this might not necessarily be the guitar for you. All right, now another fun little thing. We are just zipping through the show today. We got plenty of great stuff. No real I don't even know what you'd call it. No real crazy conversation starters here today, but just a lot of good content. So hopefully you enjoy this one as well. This is called The I Call Me, and according to the Sci-Fi Tech blog, it has a horrible name, but it's a fantastic product. Basically, this is a dual-use product. Misplaced keys and misplaced cell phones are very, very common in everybody's life. Either you lose your keys or you lose your cell phone, you don't know where anything is, your head's running in six different directions as you go about your business. So what this is it's a little fob that you put on your cell phone, it's a little fob that you put on your keychain, and it attaches to your cell phone wirelessly. So if you lose your cell phone, you push the button on the key fob, and it calls your cell phone, so you can track your cell phone down. If you lose your keys, you can dial a number for the fob, and your keys start beeping, and then you can find the keys. Great idea. There's no word yet on any kind of price here. I mean, this is a really interesting design. I'm not going to put it up there with the LEDs embedded in the road in Britain, but I like this. This is one of those things where, again, another one of those kick yourself in the pants, you should have thought of this a while ago, what were you doing with your life kind of things. It's like, that's the perfect combination. Of course, the Sci-Fi Tech blog does say the idea isn't flawless. There's a bunch of other things that could possibly happen. But what happens if you lose both your keys and your cell phone at the same point in time? Then you're pretty much up a creek. All right, and then the last little thing we have here for tech is another bit of Tukey Tech from over at lifehacker.com. We have the Carve Your Thanksgiving Turkey Like a Butcher. Step-by-step instructions on how you can go about ripping your bird to shreds the proper way. So one of the big things that I'm going to let you know, first of all, right off the bat here, is if you're going to be carving your turkey after it's roasted, after everything's done, please, please, please just let it sit for like 15 to 20 minutes. Why is that? Because all the juices are flowing from the roasting and everything else like that. And I'm talking like let it sit outside of the oven. You have to let the juices settle. Because if you were to cut into the turkey right after you you pull it out of the oven, all those juices are going to run all over the knife, run right down the bird and into the pan. Which is good enough, but the turkey's going to seem a little bit drier. If you let it sit for just a little bit, the juices are going to remain in the meat, they're going to settle down, and once you cut them, the meat is going to be succulent, it's going to be juicy, it's going to be fantastic. So we have steps 1 through 9 on how to carve your Thanksgiving turkey, linked directly up from the Life Hacker how-to. I've been watching a lot of Food Network recently. I know it's just it's like food geek stuff, but definitely needed in this day and age, so hopefully you're going to head on over there and check that out. But again, all right, now that about wraps up the tech section for today's Caffeination. Just have a little bit of a caffeinated section. It's more of a little bit of a gripe. I make strange mistakes with coffee from time to time, and one of them being that, you know, I screw up, and I screw up royally. Now, if you're on Twitter, then you know I had a little bit of a problem with my coffee situation the past couple days. I didn't realize that I didn't have any coffee grounds in work. And this all started on, let's just say, Monday. Yeah, this all started on Monday of this week. 3-day weeks throw me off something fierce. I ground up a little bit of cinnamon, put it in with the grinds to have a nice cinnamon cup of coffee. Cinnamon and coffee work very well together. So I actually didn't realize it, put it in the paper filter and sprinkled a little bit more cinnamon on the top, mixed the whole deal up. Everything was good to go. Look back about 20 minutes later and I had used too much cinnamon, so the cinnamon had actually filled all the pores in the paper coffee filter up completely and had the coffee overflowing over the top of the coffee maker down into the chamber, so it was going back and forth. It was all over the place. But luckily, I've had this kind of problem before, so I had like a little tray under the coffee maker, so nothing actually got on any of the desk. So I turned it off, had what was left of the coffee, you know, poured it into the little pot. So roughly from a 12-cup pot of coffee, I got roughly 3 cups of usable actual coffee. I mean, this is a very common occurrence. I screw up like weird... Anyway, a couple times a year, you know. So far, it's still the nastiest mess up that I ever had was the salt instead of sugar. And I know a couple other people that have done that, and it will scar you for life, I guarantee you. But All right, so I, you know, I spent yesterday actually cleaning it during lunch. I went out and, you know, cleaned it in the bathroom, scrubbed it down. I was like, all right, I'm just going to let it sit overnight, have everything all set up correct, and, you know, I'll be all right. So today I went to make myself some coffee and looked back about halfway through, and I realized I only had one cup of, or one selection of coffee grounds, and it was actually a little bit of a holiday coffee grounds that had been gifted to me. So I had some vanilla cream, and the office was smelling unbelievable. It was smelling great, and I'm not usually a really big fan of like flavored coffees like this, but the office smelled unbelievable. It smelled wonderful, and what do my wondering eyes should appear? But when I turned around, soap bubbles all over the pot of coffee. So as the coffee was brewing, it was pulling the soap out of the system. Apparently, I hadn't rinsed enough, and the entire pot of coffee was wasted. So I was stressed out. I was like, okay, how am I going to go about getting this? So first of all, if you're going to clean your coffee maker, rinse twice with plain water running through the brew system. Don't even put a filter in there the first time. Put it in the second time. You'll be perfect. That will be the pro tip that I would like to pass along to everybody out there for your Thanksgiving. If you're going to clean the coffee pot, whether if you're going to clean it with vinegar, which I highly recommend. Again, quick rundown on how to clean your coffee pot with vinegar. What you do is you take roughly 3 or 4 teaspoons of vinegar, you put it into a full pot of water, pour it into the back, removing any filters beforehand. So if you have filters in your coffee pot, pull them out. You brew it as you would normally. Take the paper filter out. Throw that water out. Fill up another complete thing. Pour that water in. Throw that water out after you run it through the system. And then the last time, you leave a paper filter in and it actually completely removes any traces of the vinegar. And then you have a wonderful clean coffee maker to work with. One sec. Yeah, there we go. I love being on Twitter and on chat and everything like that during the show, because you get all kinds of fun little missives in the middle of the show. But all right, I think that's about all you really need to know. Just please, please, please remember to clean it out. Remember to rinse it out, and you'll be fine. Today was saved by a errant pack of instant coffee sample that it was sent to me from Nescafe. I'm not a big fan of Taster's Choice usually, but today, you know what? Any port in a storm, we had the 100% Colombian. You know what? It tasted like 1,000% Colombian. It was a fantastic cup of coffee after I had been stressing out for probably about a half hour just over the fact that I wasn't going to end up with any coffee today. And believe me, it would not have been a pleasant sight in the architecture department this morning if I didn't have any coffee. So everything was fine. Everything was good. Coffee was had. Mistakes were made. I hope you all learn from my mistakes. All right. Well, I'd just like to thank everybody for listening to today's show. You are what makes this show great. So thank you so much for joining in, for giving me your ears, your listening time, and your very, very valuable time. So hopefully you're going to have a fantastic Thanksgiving. I know we are. Again, this has been Caffeination number 183, the Tukey Day 2008 celebration. We've talked about all kinds of crazy things today. Hopefully you took a little bit away for it yourself. The Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. All the shows have agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, educational content listed over at techpodcasts.com. It's past 1 a.m. here, so I'm going to wrap this sucker up, send it off to bed, and hopefully everybody else will wake up with a nice little caffeination for you. Have a happy and safe Thanksgiving to everybody out there. Everybody in the military, thank you very so much for your service, and this is going to be a great, great weekend. I can just feel it. All right, thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.